A63. Number 14A.
We come to the fifth day of creation. And we said, in order to see how many subtones life must have, in order to give a proper link for the sixth day, we actually have to know what is the sixth day. That sixth day is the day of man. It's that day where we consider man as God's own consciousness of himself, namely that man is nothing else but the infinite calculus of ideas. And therefore, we have to ask, what are the necessary prerequisites for such a consciousness? Therefore, we would say, well, what we need is that we must find the principle of being, to see that man can always draw from God. Therefore, we see that we can always deduce everything from a principle, but from a principle which is life. Therefore, which is being, not just from a theoretical principle, but the principle of being. So the accent would be that the fifth day of being would be brought to the point of principle, where it is shown that being is a principle. So we have in the fifth day, actually, only four subtones. Mind, spirit, soul, principle. How does the text explain that? And we go again to the Bible, and there, life as mind, we said, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. So again we have the waters, the elements of mind, as Mrs. Eddy calls them, and says, out of the elements of mind let there be brought forth abundantly. So we get the sense of fullness now, that the waters bring forth abundantly. And what they bring forth are actually two kinds of symbols, namely the birds and the fishes, symbolizing the exalted thought. The fish symbolize much more what? Huh? Multiplication, yes. See, fullness, multiplication, yes. One has always taken fishes because they seem to have so many, what you call, eggs that they have, you see, and it's so abundant that they have taken that as a symbol for multiplication and abundance and fullness, whereas birds may not give that impression of that infinite multiplication, but they give much more the sense of freeing oneself from all limitation, of laying down the mortal sense of thing, flying above the earth in the open firmament of heaven into the open principle of being, so that Mrs. Eddy therefore first explains these birds, the fowls, as soaring aspirations, and only afterwards she speaks about the fishes, about multiplication. So the very first point would be here life. What is here life expressed in the... Oh, we said that already, huh? Abundance, huh? And mind. Yeah, what is mind in it? The creativity, let the waters bring forth the elements of mind, let them bring forth the creativity. So we have a sense of fullness from the point of view of mind, namely that mind creates in abundance, in fullness, yes, and that it can only create in abundance how? through this soaring aspiration. Only when we free, so to say, thought from any material conception, then thoughts take on the nature of idea. The moment they are free from the earth, fly above any limitation, then thoughts gather the nature of idea. So here we have the abundance of ideas. So when we are working in Christian Science at this point of life as mind, we just can see that the nature of being is life. What does that mean? What does life mean? That it is that infinite source out of which abundant ideas can flow. That they, it's not, you see, it's the difference between the first day. First day is, let there be light, let there be an idea. But the fifth day says, there is an infinite source from which all ideas constantly flow. So it is taking again that creative sense, but in the sense of infinite amplitude and abundance. So that one feels out of the inexhaustible source of life, the waters bring constantly forth new ideas. Then we come to the next biblical term or verse. And God created great whales. So it takes now the whales as a symbol for the fish, or the big, big fish, the greatest fish that they knew at that time. And every living creature that moveth, which the water brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So what is the tone of life in here? Loud?
Abundantly.
Again, abundantly. We keep that tone of abundance, yes. But when it comes to the second verse, spirit, what is that? What is shown more than before? What is shown more than in the verse before?
After that
time. Yes. See, we always, do you remember my criteria? Always ask what is a new information that has not been before. Because if something is repeated, it is not new information. So we can see that this is not the point. The new thing is the point. And this is after their kind. And winged fowl after his kind. And it was good. So one sees here, also what Mrs. Eddy explains, the infinite individualization of this abundant source. That we have now really here the fullness of life through diversification, which brings us to the point of individuality. Individuality. Can you see what happens? How do we arrive at our individuality? How do we arrive at the point that everyone is expressing another individuality? From where do we get it? Is it just something that falls into our lap and there we have it? Is it something that is given to us just once and then we have it for all our lifetime? Or is it individuality, a constant flow of new individualities? Yes. See, we must see that each one expresses all individualities, but that at any point of experience we can express a certain individuality, but that does not mean that that is the only individuality we have. We have infinite individuality. How do we get that? We only get that because we have an infinite source, life as mind. And see, from that infinite source, from those waters, there is constantly new ideas at hand. So to say that infinite source says, I give you all the ideas you want. Therefore, we can have these ideas in all infinite ways and shades and meanings. Does that make sense? See, therefore, you can be in a situation where you have to be, say, where you have to express the individuality of a father. Perhaps you have never done that. Suddenly you come into a situation where you should perhaps express fatherhood sense to a student, to a neighbor, to anybody. Well, how can you do that? By going back to the one source where you say, in that one infinite source, everything is there. There is all individuality is there. The infinite individuality is life. From there, I can, after their kind, can take any kind of individuality, any kind. So I can be at one moment, I can be a father to the universe. At another moment, I can be the son of the universe. At another moment, I can be the mother of the universe. At the other moment, I can be the inspirer of the universe. At another moment, I can be the supporter of the universe. At another moment, I can be the savior of the situation. At another moment, I can be anything else. You see, so you can't say, I have only one individuality. Because it is life as spirit, life as mind said, you are above any limitation in the open firmament. You can take it whatever you like. There is no limitation on it, no restriction on it, no limits set on you. Therefore, you can draw from that infinite source whatever you need, whatever kind you need, whatever kind of individuality you need at a certain moment. I think this is... Sometimes I don't know if we really understand it, what it implies, but because again and again I always can see with the student that they feel, I can only do one thing. I can't do the other things. I have not been trained for the other thing. I have never done the other things. Therefore, I cannot do the other things. I am not only so as I am born. I am only so as I have been educated. I am only so as I have been as I'm made. I'm not made that way, you see. You see? And therefore you say somebody else can do that. Whereas we should get into the habit of seeing that we can do anything, every individuality, so that in every situation we are at the right place, that we can meet every situation with a new individuality, with a new kind of life. If we really would demonstrate that, can you see how each one would free himself from his limitations? Or don't you hear very often, or don't you say to yourself very often, well, I'm not good at that. That's not my line. That's not what I can do. And yet you may have to do it. And the Bible shows us so often that the great characters of the Bible usually had to do that for which they were not predestined. That they felt, that's not my job. Think of Moses. He didn't want to do the job. He said, I cannot talk. Well, he found a way out. Or Jeremiah, he said, why don't you send somebody else? Send somebody else. Said, oh, no, nothing doing, you go. We very often have to do that we have to take on a job which we feel, I mean, in a spiritual way, a job in a spiritual way which we feel we are not equipped to do it. Now, there is no excuse for us to do it because we have to see that we acknowledge our complete individuality. That's at the point of life as spirit. You know, Jim makes there that very, very interesting statement. Well, actually, I say very, very interesting statement because it's interesting for me. Each one has its experience and so on, and one always feels it's important for the other one too. But I remember right from the time I was a very young student in Christian Science, I always felt, now, what is my individuality? I was also always asking, what is then my individuality? I knew that I was a stinker in many ways, so I felt, well, what then is good about me? So I came across this when I was studying the days of creation. That was long before the World War. And I came to this very interesting point that she said that these angels of his presence, which have the holiest charge, abound in the spiritual atmosphere of mind, capital M, and consequently reproduce their own characteristics. So I knew that everything must be a reproduction of mind's ideas, life as mind. That there is a great, abundant field or source of life from where I can draw anything. And then it says, their individual forms we know not. So I thought, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I really don't know my individuality. Because I was asking a wrong question, I was asking, what is my individuality? I have not a single individuality. My individuality is infinite in variety. So, they say, their individual forms we know not, but we do know. I was quite interested to see, what do we know when I do not know what my form is? But we do know that their natures are allied to God's natures. So I knew from that point on, I think I never really went back anymore to that question and never anymore back to feel that I don't have all the individualities that are necessary for my present-day life. I knew that though I did not know what individuality, what form of individuality I need the next day and the day afterwards, I knew that that individuality is allied to God's nature, and that the God's nature has an infinite source, which he said is in the source of that infinite mind. I knew I could draw it constantly from that infinite mind. So, whatever we have to do, whatever individuality is needed at every new step of our life, we know I can go back to a source, I can draw from that source, and if I'm one with that mind and with that divine mind and take in that divine mind and see that I have no other mind but that mind which is God, I feel therefore that all ideas are at my disposition, that all ideas are right ready for me, that they are not away from me, that therefore they are present, they serve me. And as I begin to see that, I don't need to know the form of it. I only need to know that they are light to God's nature and therefore will express themselves in infinite diversified way as infinite individuality. And so one is, I think, able really to meet any situation. Did I make that clear? Yeah? Yeah? So that no man can anymore come and say, I don't have a woman who sends her. That no woman can come anymore and can say, well, I have not the man who sends. I am therefore not that person that can think logically and reason and dominate my life through reason instead of through sentiments and emotion. Nobody can do that anymore. You know, when we have that tone of spirit as life, we can't do that anymore. We really have a feeling, it doesn't depend if I have trousers on or not. Oh, that's no more so important today. But if I'm a man or a woman, if I'm a mother or a father, that just is of no, that's no criteria anymore. We have risen above the earth into the open firmament of heaven. And there we have the reproduction after their kind, and that kind is always an infinite gender. So we have infinite gender, we have infinite individuality. And it's beautiful. We come to the next tone of life and soul. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the sea, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So, again, we have a sense. Mrs. Eddy then explains that really through spiritual sense, soul, we can see the multiplication of ideas. That the fullness of ideas going on the moment we let spiritual sense reign. So we rule here through spiritual sense. Then we come to principle, life as principle. And again we have that interesting point that the Bible only says that the evening and the morning were the fifth day, which per se really doesn't mean anything except it is the fifth day, the fifth stage, but that wouldn't give no indication that it is life as principle. See, if we take the first day, perhaps you remember when we read the first day, that rendering, and the evening and the morning were the first day, was not a separate verse. It was combined with the text of a God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So we have to be careful. See, the Bible didn't have verses. So the Bible is not responsible for the layout in verses. The verses have been put in very late, I'm not quite sure, but at the time when they began to print the Bible, it was about 1600 or so, when a publisher drove from Paris, I think, down to Lyon at that time with a coach, and it did take a few weeks to go, and he was reading the Bible and felt it would be nice if one could split up that text, which was, the original text had no paragraphs, nothing. You see, just read on the scrolls. So he put in the chapters and the verses. And since then, everybody had to stick to that kind of chapter and verse structure. So chapter and verses are humanly conceived ordering system. So we cannot say the Bible had a special verse for this rendering and the evening and the morning were the fifth day. That man in that coach, was riding down from Paris, he's to be blamed, that he made a special verse of this. So that Mrs. Eddy had to take the whole thing, say the whole day, and build in her own structure, her spiritual structure. And so she could see again that the writers, the biblical writers, apparently didn't give a further explanation of this tone of life, whereas she felt there must be a further tone in it. And therefore she explains here this verse of which we have as life and principle. She explains in her interpretation as life as principle. She says, advancing spiritual steps in the teeming universe of mind. You see, the teeming universe, the teeming gives a sense of life, of abundance of life, leads on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings. It's as if she would recapitulate life as mind here, to exalted beings. To material sense, this divine universe is dim and distant, gray in the somber hues of twilight. But anon, the veil is lifted. We have again the revelation in the open firmament, and the scene shifts into light. And then she comes to the point and says, in the record, time is not yet measured by solar revolutions. So she takes in first the counterfeit of life as principle and says, the counterfeit of life is principle. If we take time and measure time in a system, in a solar revolution, and systematize it in years and months and weeks and days and 24 hours and minutes and seconds and so on, this is a humanly classified system of presenting time. This is a counterfeit. And so she says in the record, time is not yet measured by solar revolution. And the motions and reflections of deific power cannot be apprehended until divine science becomes the interpreter. And you have a great sense of principle that actually being must not be interpreted in time concepts, but that being must be interpreted in periods of thought, in periods of ideas, therefore in a system of idea, and interpreted by science. So you have a wonderful sense here that what is needed, that being is not just being, the fullness of being, the multiplication of being, the abundance of being, but that we should have a science of that being, a science interpreting that being. That would be life as principle. If we arrive at this point, then we see that we have certainly a bridge to the sixth day, which says, what is the sixth day? That man is conscious from the standpoint of God. Therefore, from the standpoint of principle, he can now reckon and can calculate infinitely. The sixth day is man as the infinite calculus. He begins to calculate infinitely. How can he calculate infinity? What does he need for that? What he needs for that is that he first must have being. He must calculate being. He must not calculate his material existence. So he must have first a sense of the divine being, life. But he also must have a principle, a science that can interpret that being, or he will be a mystic. The mystic has also a one being. But if he has not a science in it, cannot classify, cannot measure that, what she calls the motions and revolution of deific power, if he cannot measure that, then the mystic cannot really demonstrate that one being as a divine infinite calculus. So that's the reason why there is no necessity for another subtone.